This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Comebacks. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. How do you know if a threatened species is making a comeback? Well, you have to get exact numbers. Keep track of them. But when you're talking about grizzly bears, getting good data proves difficult. Reporter Molly Siegel spent time with scientists in the Canadian province of Alberta, just north of Montana, chasing bears for a census of sorts.
A grizzly bear census is complicated because grizzlies cover vast territories.
Welcome to camp.
I meet with biologist Gord Stenhouse. He leads a team that goes out and puts radio collars on grizzly bears. Those collars will tell him where a bear is going and where bears are hanging out. But how do you get a collar on a grizzly bear? That is part art, part science. Gord and his team have set up traps all over the area. There are 7 grizzly bear management areas in the province of Alberta. The one we're in is almost the size of Massachusetts. They're hoping to catch maybe 10 to 15 grizzlies this field season.
And we're all waiting for alarms. So we have the alarms come to our phones.
The alarm tells them a trap has been triggered. But before you can catch a bear, you have to bait the trap. So I head out with some of the other field crew to see how it all works. I hop in a truck with John Saunders and Dave Hobson. When they get to a trap, they first make sure there's no bear circling the area around it.
Hey, bear!
They carry a shotgun and make noise.
Well, the birds have cleaned us out again.
It looks like birds have been at the bait. The bear trap is a giant metal pipe. One end is closed off, and on the other is an opening. If a grizzly wiggles its way in and grabs the bait hanging at the end, a trigger goes off, and the door will close, trapping the bear inside.
I think we should put new trigger bait on there.
The bait is in the back of the pickup truck, mostly elk that were hit by vehicles in the nearby national park.
Yeah, I have a knife.
They butcher the elk.
And I have enough to redo that bait.
Last year, this team collected hair from bears in this area. They're analyzing the DNA to get a better sense of how many bears live here. Pair that with the radio collars, and a clearer picture of bear numbers and movements will emerge. This matters for bears and humans. The area where Gord and his team are working covers part of a national park, campgrounds, wilderness, and also towns and farmland. So bears and people occupy some of the same space and sometimes use the same resources here.
For example, if we have more recreation or more human activity in an area, are bears being pushed out or displaced from that area and then being forced into areas where you might have more conflict with agricultural areas or with the ranching community?
Well, if we have a resident bear population that is staying within the ranching area, the ranching community, we need to know that. We'd even get bald eagles.
I meet Paul Fraser in the community of Bearberry, where he and his partner raise yearling cows. Driving to their ranch, you might catch a glimpse of mountains in the distance. Barns and cows dot the rolling hills. But make no mistake, this is also grizzly bear country. And it's part of the area Gord and his team are collaring grizzlies. Paul is a trained wildlife biologist, and he works with local ranchers to prevent conflict between humans and bears.
If they're staying here, we need to manage for them to be here if we want to exist with them. And that's the whole point, is trying to coexist with the bears here. So we got to educate people and let them know, okay, yeah, there are bears here. They are staying here. This is where they're moving around.
But to figure out whether or not grizzlies are staying in that area or just passing through, they need to put collars on bears that are actually spending time on ranch and farmland. And Paul helps Gord find ranchers and farmers who are seeing grizzly bears on their property regularly and who are okay with having a bear trap on their land for a few days. Around here, a couple people have died from grizzly attacks before. So bears can make people feel anxious.
How many bears are on the landscape? They want an absolute number, and we can't give them that. Because everybody's seeing more bears, at least that's what they're saying, is we're seeing way more bears here on the landscape than were here 10 years ago. And we think the bear population is increasing. We think there's potential for human-bear conflict to happen again. So what they would like to see is a hunting season open up for grizzly bears.
It's been illegal to hunt grizzly bears in Alberta since 2006. Gord, the biologist, tells me many grizzlies still get shot and killed in the province illegally.
Some people might be afraid of bears, which I understand at some level, and some people just might not accept that there's grizzly bears coming into areas where they haven't seen them before. You go and speak to a rancher who might have lost a calf or cattle or sheep to a bear, and they might believe there's too many bears.
The bears may be around, but I've yet to see one. It's my last morning at their field camp. I'd really like to be there for the action, how they collar a grizzly bear. And?
So we had an alarm last night just after midnight at the site we set yesterday. We called it Wigwam Site on the Wigwam Road. And we hope that there's a bear inside the trap, so we're going to just go check that.
We drive to Wigwam Road. The team is hopeful, but I'm nervous. An alarm doesn't always mean a bear. The bear could have triggered it and gotten away. When we arrive, Gord gets out of his truck and tells me for now I have to stay put while they approach the trap. I have a mic on him and can hear everything from my spot in the truck.
Yes, indeed, it's a bear. And it's a grizzly bear.
A couple team members prepare a dart with a drug to immobilize the bear.
Good.
The dart hit the target. The grizzly is out cold, and now I can get up close. The bear's breathing is slow. It smells kind of like a wet dog, but stronger. But instead of kibble breath, raw elk breath.
Hey, bear.
They make sure the bear's oxygen levels are good. Then they get to work quickly.
Okay.
They have roughly 1 hour before the bear will wake up.
Okay, Abby, you can start sampling. You're going to be on shotgun. You're on collar.
All five crew members have different tasks and all move swiftly in tandem. They have a list of samples to take.
One of the things we do is pull this little premolar tooth here, that little tiny one, and before we pull it, just like when you're at the dentist, we freeze. So we're putting in some freezing.
They take a tooth the size of my pinky nail, minuscule compared to its other long, sharp teeth. It will tell them how old the bear is. They take blood samples. They pluck and shave tiny bits of hair, which they'll analyze later for many different things, and a small skin biopsy.
You got your biopsy?
It sounds like we're in a hospital.
So now we need another round of vitals. Okay. So you got rectal temp and respiration, please.
They insert a microchip under its skin.
Yes, we're putting in a microchip.
Each time they catch a bear, they scan it to see if it already has one of these. That would tell them they've caught it before. One of their last tasks, measure and weigh the bear. It clocks in at 338 pounds. Samples taken, measurements done, and collars secured on the bear. They prepare to inject the grizzly with a drug that will wake him up. Suddenly, the bear lets out a huge breath.
When you start hearing those big breaths like that, that means the bear's coming out of the anesthetic plane. So these nice, big, deep breaths, those are really good.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Okay.
And that tells you you should be finishing.
Okay.
Okay.
Just as quickly as the team unpacked, they pack up their gear and we pile into the trucks. Gord will wait in his until the grizzly starts waking up. This bear doesn't know it, but it's become a moving data set that will send them GPS points for up to 2 years, and maybe answer some questions that will help keep grizzly bears like this one in Alberta for years to come.
Molly Siegel reported that story.